Turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, so much to preach from here. We could preach about the beheading of John the Baptist, but I decided no. We could preach about his disciples and how they came to Jesus after he was killed. And he took them apart, it says in verse number 31, into a desert place and rest for a while. I want to talk to you about what he told the disciples when the people came to them and he ministered to them. He told them when they came to him and said, they're hungry. They would send them away so they go buy something to eat. And he told them, he said, you give to them. That's something I think we're all should be taught. Something we all should learn is we should be giving to people what we have. You know, something he supplied us with so much. We talked about provision already here in the church. Provision in Cambodia that God is blessed with. Provision for this. Already the provision is coming in. And thank you, Lord. Provision here in this community. We've seen that take place in the last few weeks just very abundantly. And the provision God keeps bringing to our lives. Let me stop. I'm going to get ahead of myself and I'll get in trouble. So let me stop and let's pray. Lord, I'm a bit nervous here. There's a whole lot more preachers here today than I'm used to. And Lord, everyone or anyone could have taken this place this morning. But Lord, you've assigned this to me. So slow me down. Help me, Lord, to remember the things in order that you placed on my heart. Help me to say clearly the things that you want me to say. And help us, Lord, all to be blessed because we've been in the house of God and been with brothers and sisters who we hadn't met before. And, Lord, we might not meet this side of glory again. But, Lord, help us to create a memory, create something that in our hearts, Lord, that will bless us until we do meet in glory. Be with us today. Touch every life, every soul. Don't let anyone slip away. If there's one here without Christ, I pray, Lord, you'd save them today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 32, they depart. That's the wrong chapter, or wrong verse now. Let's go down a little bit. He's taking them to a desert place. Verse number 33, and the people saw them depart, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of the cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Now, I got to thinking about that. That's a tremendous thing that he's written there. He began to teach them many things, not just one storyline. I believe he had something to teach them that they never had heard before. He was often credited with teaching them with such an authority they'd never heard it before, teaching like he taught. Well, he's the author of the thing. Amen. And so he had something to say, and he had some understanding to apply that people just sometimes can't have. They just don't get that understanding. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennies worth of bread and give them to eat? And he said unto them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they said, 5 and 2 fish. 5 and 2 fishes. Let's pray. Help me, Lord, right now. Slow down and put this together. Thank you for all. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of people come to him. A lot of people from different places in the countryside. If we took a census here, a lot of people here from different places in the countryside. Different towns, different communities, some different states. from all around, east of us, west of us, even some north of us, you know, have migrated down to this place. There's a purpose in that. Do you know that? There's a purpose for every one of us being here today. The purpose for you being a part of this church, this congregation. The purpose for you being part of this ministry. God has purpose for you to be here. We read in Sunday school some of the verses we read about the different parts God's put into the church. An eye, an ear, a finger, a nose, and everything. And we all have our part to do. In Ephesians it talks about us, each one supplying what the church needs. We have a supply. Are we supplying what we're here for? Are we doing our part for the brothers and sisters in the congregation? Now, look, that's looking into the congregation. Outside the congregation, we have something to supply also to our community where we live. Now, this church should be a tremendous blessing and should be known by everyone that we know that where it is and who that we go there. Everyone should know that we're part of White Oak Baptist Church, White Oak Independent Baptist Church. And you, I saw that on a tractor trailer the other day, and I caught up with it to see what was in. You know, I want to know, did the church have a tractor trailer? We have a side business. It was White Oak, and then I caught up in this casket company, so I slowed down a bit. It just didn't seem to fit in all that I had in my mind. What do you do when they get a congregation together? What do you do when they come to you and they want to know? What do you do for them? He set them down and taught them. He's taught them. He took the Bible out of his heart, out of his mind. He took it out, the Word of God, and he taught them the Word of God. He taught them many things. The shepherd, he saw them as a shepherd sees them. They were sheep without a shepherd. They're wandering around. You know the whole community around about us out today. So many are out of church today. So many are at home. The good church people, growing up in church, being raised up with Christian parents, becoming part of the church, are not here today. They're wandering as sheep without a shepherd. And you know something? That's the condition of the whole world. We need to recognize that these people are heathen. They are not raised up wrong. Most of the people around this part of the South especially grew up in a church. I remember going to church. It was up the hill. We went up the hill to the Baptist church. Or actually, that was a Presbyterian at the time. I think it's different now. It's a Baptist church now. But then they finally means they got it right. That's the way it should be. But we went to church, walk up the hill to the church. We didn't drive. The church didn't have much of a parking lot anyway. But it wasn't just from the street there, Tyler Street in Gadsden, Alabama. It wasn't just from the people down that street. It's from people from old top of the mountain and all around that part of the city. We'd all go to church. We'd cluster there to church. And you know something? We were taught. I don't remember my Sunday school teacher's name. She was about this tall and about that side to side. But she was there every Sunday. I remember things she taught us. I remember one day she had a water pitcher there on the counter, and she had just a whole bunch of little glasses there on the counter. And I don't remember how she taught it, but she was putting water in all those glasses and everything and from that water pitcher. Not a great old big thing, but a small. And she kept pouring water in those glasses. And how come it's not running out? That's my mind. She's going to run out, and there's going to be some empty glasses there. But you know, however many was there, it might only have been 10, but in my mind, it's a couple of hundred. But she put water in all those glasses and everything. And when she was finished, there was still water in that pitcher. I don't remember all of that, but you know, something that's significant in my memory. I remember that teacher, and she was a good teacher. She got my attention. Jesus teaches. Whenever he got an opportunity, whether there was 5,000 men and the women and the children, or whether there was 12 of them gathered and sitting around together, or anywhere in between, the Lord teaches. We're to be teachers. God wants us to be teachers. You ever thought about what he might have taught? How about repent, the kingdom of God is at hand? How about repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Or maybe, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Are you hungry this morning? Are you hungry this morning? I'm hungry for a little bit of taste from God. Amen? I'd like to taste manna this morning. That honey-flavored wafer that God sent them in the desert and everything. You know something? He's still feeding people today. If you're hungry, you can get a taste of what God has to feed you. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. It may just be that they came to see someone healed of a disease, or a man made whole from a disability, from an injury or something like that. They may have come to watch the priest argue with Jesus about the scripture, and most of the time the priest would lose. And that's fun to watch people argue with the Lord and lose. Whatever reason they came, and it became late in the day, and they became hungry, and the children and the women and the men needed to have something to eat, and the Lord troubled the heart of the apostles. You know, I have a feeling there were some personal issues in that send them away thing too, don't you? As long as they were there, they were neglected, and they needed to eat also. And so maybe send them away, Lord, so they can go and buy some food, and we can go and buy some food. Remember when he stopped at the woman at the well, where the woman came to draw water? They went in to buy groceries and everything, came back, and he was already feeding that woman the gospel, and she got saved at the time. Hey, what to do? What to do? Jesus said, give ye them to eat. Give you them to eat. I can hear one of the disciples now, probably Matthew. Me? I don't have any. You got anything? What do you mean? We don't have any food here. Lord, what are you talking about? Me? We can't give them to eat. We don't have anything. You need to send them away. But you know something? God wasn't surprised at this situation. The Lord was taken aback by them not being able to provide for them. He had something to teach them yet that they hadn't spotted yet. They hadn't figured it out yet. He's always got something more to teach us. He wants to teach us about ministry. He wants us to learn in this congregation about missionaries who not only have a plan, a ministry actually a fairly new ministry. And God's blessed. Did you get to see the kids back there on the pictures? Are the ones he had here, the kids in those villages outside the city, those were souls. Those were people that Jesus died for. And they are ministers of the gospel for tomorrow. Amen? They are ministers, and they don't have to wait till tomorrow to bring friends in. We started a soccer thing out on the playground on the military base in Germany, outside Wiesbaden, Germany. And we were there. We went out on the playground, and there was five or six kids, and we just threw a soccer ball out on the playground. And boy, the kids came out, and we got them around about and said, do y'all want to play a little game? And everything, they said, yes. I said, they go get some friends. And they scattered and went different directions. And pretty soon, we had a whole field full of kids. And we set up and played a game for quite a little while and everything. And at about halfway through a game, we stopped and gathered them together, set them down into groups, and began to teach them about Jesus. And we began to teach them about going to church. We taught them about praying. We taught them about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he came from heaven to gain their soul, to earn their soul by dying on the cross and paying their sin debt. and what He did for them and everything. You know what? We started teaching them about coming to Sunday school. Their moms started gathering too. And there are more than one kid go to mom. Can I go to Sunday school? Can I go to Sunday school? And pretty soon we gained 5 families out of that one event. Just one event there. 5 families come to church. Several got saved out of those families and baptized. Praise the Lord. What do? We throw moms and dads that got saved. They're still saved. In Wiesbaden there, we had a family that left the military and went to school to serve the Lord. I don't understand all of that, how it works, but God does it. God does it in the hearts of people. God does it in our heart. He said, feed them. Look, He said, go see how much food there is. What do we have to feed them? There's 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus took a boy's lunch. Took a boy. Find me a boy. There's one. What you going to have for lunch? What you going to have? Would you give it to me? Oh, that's one of my favorite. I had some of that last night. Would you share that with me? Would you? There we go. We're already making progress here. Amen? We're already making progress. That's what Jesus did. He took what was available. Took it from a youngster. Took his lunch and he prayed over it. And He blessed it. And He broke it. And He ended up feeding 5,000 men. The provision of God is nonstop. The provision is there. When we see nothing, there's so much. You know something? We live in an America. The bumper crop of the whole world is right here. So many of us have food in our house, food in our refrigerator, that we wouldn't have to go anywhere for a month to buy anything. Some people, I remember meeting in Alaska, a man that lived out in the bush, and he came and bought groceries twice a year. July and November, he bought groceries, and he'd have to have it hired and delivered in January or February, whenever it was delivered. They'd come in and bring it in with a helicopter and lower it down because they couldn't land where he lived and everything. It's just amazing. Take my wife to Walmart twice a year or something like that. Have mercy. What a problem. Yeah. God's provision is unending. God has enough for everybody. He's got enough for us. We have potluck over Parkway Baptist next week. That's sort of important to me. I like that. We have our service, go back and we eat. Most of the time, tables full of food, a whole table section divided to dessert, and that's important. Amen. And it's just a pleasant atmosphere when you get all those people fed by God with the Word of God, and then you have them sit down and have a good meal and everything, and it's all pleasant. Can you imagine the situation? Can you imagine how it must be? God says, I can provide. I can provide for your life. I can provide for you not just eternal life, but eternal fellowship, eternal comfort, eternal home. I can provide for you. I can give you things you don't even know to ask for. He said, my provision is so that they've got laid up in heaven for you so much things, so many different things that you don't even know to ask for them. So because you don't know to ask for them, the Holy Spirit asks for you. And He prays for you. And God then provides for you. Not because we thought to ask for it, but because God loves us and His Spirit prayed for us. Isn't that a providing God? Isn't that a God of love? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Is He your Savior? But let me ask, is He your provider? Is He your security? Is He your security? He died on that cross to pay your sin debt. And when He saved you, He saved you forever. Amen. He saves us forever. It's not just for a minute. It's for eternity. Look at the provision of the Lord. The provision of the Lord is not just for that day. It's for our day, and it's for tomorrow's day. The provision of the Lord won't wear out for the people of this world until there is no world anymore. Amen. 12 baskets full of fragments. You know what they were for? That was for the people who were arriving late to the service. They didn't get there in time, but so they had extra laid up for those that were coming later. Do you know more would come later? More would come later. The flow to Jesus doesn't stop. It's still coming today. We're here today because somebody in that flock told somebody else. Finally, it got to us. And here we are today. We're here because He provided, because of His provision back then. It just continues to flow. The Word of God, the teaching of God continues to go out into the different highways and byways. It's our turn, and maybe this missionary's turn. He left the Philippines. I don't know. I know. I'm trying to think. Filipino man I knew in Germany, his name was June, and I cannot remember his last name. Been sitting there all morning trying to remember what was June's name, last name. I don't remember. But he went home to the Philippines after his 25 years of service in the Navy, and we said our goodbyes. I hated to see him go, but you know what? He was going home to join a church, to minister in that church, just like he had in that church in Wiesbaden. And praise the Lord for June. And now I've got a missionary here from the Philippines. Might know June. I don't know, but it's a small country, I know. So there's not so many people. So who knows? But the ministry goes on. The ministry goes on. There's a ministry need up the road. Just up the road. There's a ministry. Went and found Gethsemane Baptist Church last night. You ever, do y'all know that sign on the road down the road? I was curious what's back up there in the woods. And it is. It's back up in the woods and everything. You climb the hill, excuse me, and you find it. There's a big old church there. I was really impressed. Now, I hadn't been in it. No intention of going in it right now. God hadn't moved me that way. But I wanted to know. Is there people? Is there a place here for people back up in these woods to go to church? Is there? God often supplies that. God has a ministry back up in the woods, but there's never enough, is there? Is there enough ministry here in this community? Is there enough people ministering here? Is there enough churches? I have to say no, because they're not all in church. Not everyone has been told yet about the provision of God. Not everyone has been told yet that God provided His Son to pay their sin debt so they could go to heaven. And until that ministry is met, there's still a need for the ministry to keep going, to keep reaching, to keep preaching, to keep telling, and keep going on to the Philippines, to Germany, to other parts of the world, missionaries to China. Where are you at? Where are you at there? There's a missionary kid. Dad was in China. Family was in China. Thank the Lord. That's tremendous to me. You know what? China, they're communist. Cambodia's communist. But God worked in the hearts and the minds of those ministers, the leaders of the country, to open the door to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what did Paul say? Right now there's a small door open. There's a small way for me to get in and to go through and to preach the gospel. That door might not be open long, but it's open now. We need to make sure that he has what he needs to go and do the job God's called him to do. Can you imagine Joseph Jr. There in 10 years leading the congregation in music, and then maybe leading the congregation as a pastor of the church? Can you see that? I can see that. The Lord's provision never ends. If we look for it and ask for it, God will supply. Do you see? Do you see? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is He your shepherd? David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Because I won't want for rest, because He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." I shall not want for refreshment because He leads me beside the still waters. I shall not want for forgiveness. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for guidance, for He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want for protection, for I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I shall not want for comfort, for Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for provision, for Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for joy, because Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. I shall not want for anything in this life, for surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall not want for the life in the for the next life, because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's God's provision. That's what He has for us today. That's what He has for the people tomorrow. But you know, He's left a lot of responsibility to us. We as a congregation are responsible when Cain killed Abel. The Lord came to him and talked to him. He said, "Where's your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Can I give you the answer to that question?" It's yes. Yes. We are our brother's, our neighbor's keeper. We can't go and do all things for them, but we are responsible for every chance we get to tell every person we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a tremendous thing. Let me ask you, do you know who Jesus is? Have you heard the story that Jesus, that baby that was born in Bethlehem, was raised up right? He raised up correct? He became the minister from Nazareth, He taught the disciples. He proved Himself to be the Son of God, to be God. He proved Himself with miracles. He didn't do those miracles for God. God knew what He was doing. He didn't provide those miracles for the kings or for the government. He did those for the people, to show them that He represented a holy Father in heaven who had a plan for them, who had a provision for them, who wanted them to come into His family. That amazed me a long time ago when I was a youngster before I got saved. God loves me. God, He cares for me. He wanted me to become part of His family. I could not accomplish that. It was impossible for me. In fact, I had no thought of that for myself. I wanted to go on and do as I was doing. But He showed me in my life that He could do this, that He had provided already for me a shepherd. And that shepherd had given Himself for the sheep. And He would save me if I trusted Him, if I believed in Him. And one morning, actually it was one night, at an evening service, I fell at an altar and I said, "God, I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful man. Forgive me my sins, I pray, and save me in Jesus' name. Jesus, save my soul. Jesus, save my soul." I would say He already took me to heaven. Spiritually, I'm there. I'm seated on thrones or in heaven. I don't know what I'm doing there. I don't, neither do you. But we'll find out soon enough. Amen? When it's time, He's going to come get me. If He does, this body of clay will fall and they'll lay it in the ground. But I'll be in glory. I'll be in glory. I'll be there. You know something? We talk about the reunion when the rapture comes. But I have a feeling there's a reunion every time a Christian dies and is brought into the presence of the Holy. I believe there's a reunion. Mamas and daddies, sisters, brothers, relationships, husbands and wives meet their family coming into glory, as well as the angels coming to greet us and welcome us into glory. I believe there's a reunion. And that reunion takes place because God provided for that already. Have you sampled the Lord's provision in your life? Listen, if you're here today and you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you and save you, you've never asked God to take your sins away and wash them away in the blood of Christ and to save your soul, you need to do that. Today is an opportunity today for you to come and ask God to forgive you your sins and save you in Jesus' name. If you haven't been saved, you need to come today. If you haven't been saved, you need to do that today. Now let me say one more thing, and I'll close with this. If you don't feel right in asking people to come to church with you, you're living wrong. You have a wrong heart attitude. If you don't feel right about asking people to come to church with you and hearing about Jesus, hearing about the Lord, to hear the music, the congregational singing, the Bible reading, the children, B-I-B-L-E. That's powerful stuff. That's powerful stuff. Those are preachers. And those are preacher wives and Sunday school teachers. And those are witnesses. Those are future witnesses that are going to go into the highways and byways around the world and declare Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We need to, let me tell you something. If you can't feel right about inviting people to church with you, there's something wrong inside. You need to get that right. You need to ask God to forgive you that. And you need to get things right. And can I tell you something? This week I've watched God work in my wife's life. I've watched this happen several times in different situations, different people. This week, Tuesday night, after the her knee was replaced on Tuesday night, she had a hard time. Wednesday night, she was having a very hard time. I might have my days off one by one. The whole week has been a mess. She was just crying and pain with her knee and everything. And I gave her a pill. That was the last one of those pills she will ever get. It's a painkiller and it does that real well, but it's also an opioid and we're not going to take that anymore. But I prayed over her and I asked God to take her pain away or at least ease it so that she can rest. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning, somewhere like that. And she was having a hard time, but that pill slowed her down. That caused her to go to sleep. She woke up again about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up, and she was moving along the edge of the bed. She'd gotten up to go to the bathroom. That's her first time to get up on her own. She wasn't hurting. That's that opioid pill. That's that drug that she took that did that. Hogwash. My God took her pain away. She still hurts a little bit now and again, but ibuprofen handles it really well. We still pray. God took her pain away. God took her pain. He didn't heal that leg. It's still stiff as a board. It sounds like I'm breaking it every time I help her move it and everything. But you know what? God took her pain away. And she's walking. She got out yesterday and walked in the yard and everything. Thank you, Lord. My God is a provider. He'll provide. We need to seek His help. Do you know Jesus? Do you know who He is? Have you experienced His provision? This morning, if God spoke to you, Maybe you need to pray and ask for God's help. Maybe you need to pray and ask for good direction. Maybe you got a friend or a loved one that you need to pray for and ask to God to touch their life and soften their heart so that they might consider coming to church with you. Or you might get a chance to tell them about Jesus yourself. You take your track and get it in your head so you can share that. And you prepare your mind to go and visit and share the Lord with them. You'll be surprised. People want God. People want a relationship with God. We saw that in this recent revival thing that was going on in Kentucky. People come from all over the country. And you know what they didn't find there? They didn't find the right message from God. They didn't find a relationship with God. I watched that in Italy. People crawling on their knees up a hill to a place where they worship Mary. There's a place called Monte Barco. It's built to the worship of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I watched people crawl on their knees up that hill to go and worship. But when they get there, they don't find God. He's not there. He's not there. They're desperate for a relationship with God, but He's not there in that. They need a preacher, an Italian preacher, to go and talk to them about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who can forgive their sins and save their soul. If you're here today and you need to speak to the Lord, then you come. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, that You'll move on the people today. Touch lives. Help us understand we carry the message that the whole world needs. We carry the story of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, I pray, not just to be involved in the inward ministry of our church, but, Lord, in the outward ministry of our church. Help us, Lord, I pray, be not just living in the community that we live in, but Lord, ministers in the community that we live in. And Lord, help us to reach the nations with Jesus Christ in our community. We ask in Jesus' name. Head bowed and eyes closed. Let's all stand together. Do you need to pray? Altar's open. Just as I am. How God wants you. You don't have to change to meet God. He wants you just as you are to come to Him. Leave the changing up to Him. He'll do a better job than you can do. While these are here praying, would you pray? Pray for your pastor. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. If he's up to that right now, praise you, Pastor, for the strength. Be up. Let God have His way in your life. Let God have His way in your heart.